Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We are talking about a fabulous book, and at first I thought to myself, oh, we should have talked about this earlier in the summer, but upon contemplation, I believe that Eric Dregney's Let's Go Fishing is a book that you should read at this time of the year. He joins us on the phone to tell us more about it. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Good morning.
Fish Tales from the North Woods. And the book is just a beautiful book. It's bigger than a standard hardcover, not quite as monstrous as a coffee table book. How did you envision people using and enjoying this book when you, either when you were writing it or when you saw the finished product?
Well, I couldn't write a book about how to fish because I'm a hack fisherman. And so it's more of a book about the whole culture of fishing. So it's not necessarily just for people who fish. It's, you know, it's all the crazy, weird facts about fishing that I, you know, I ended up, the publisher of U of M Press kind of took a risk with this to let me kind of go out and find all of these things that I didn't know what I was going to come up with. I mean, I never knew that people would be out worm charming, for example, and you know, this whole contest that they have to bring earthworms to the surface, that they put in a pitchfork in the ground and bang it with vibrations to bring them up, or to put electrical lines down in the ground to bring them. I mean, there's crazy things like that that I just never knew about, even though I grew up here.
Well, and you found so many cool, different illustrations, bits of artwork. Apparently, fishing figured prominently in some of the propaganda and the art of the Second World War.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because we, in the North, we figure, well, you know, that's what fish, if you have fish, that's the best food, really, you know, it's nice and fresh. But it wasn't always that way. Even going all the way back to Shakespeare, he talked about the fish eaters. In other words, he meant the Catholics, because the Catholics, you know, would eat fish on Fridays. So when World War I, World War II came around, the U.S. government had to push people to eat fish because they wanted the meat, they wanted those other things to send over to the troops. So we had all, have all these beautiful lakes, and then why not just eat that fish? So it seems strange to have to convince them, but a lot of groups, you know, apart from the Scandinavians or others who would had a whole fishing culture, they had to convince them that fish was actually okay food.
And here is an ad, fish is a fighting food. We need more. And on the same page then it says, save the products of the land, eat more fish, they feed themselves.
Yeah.
So,
we already have it here, so let's eat it.
It's amazing. Once you started looking into the culture of fishing, and it would, I would imagine that the more you look into it, the more the topic just kind of balloons out of control. How are you able to impose any kind of order at all on all of the cool information that you were accumulating?
Well, it basically came down to my deciding, well, is this worth putting in the book or not? Because, I mean, a lot of it was those great tidbits, like, you know, Jimmy Carter out there being attacked by a rabbit while he's fishing, which actually happened. I mean, things like that, well, like, that has got to go in. But then a lot of, I thought in doing the book that I would have to go to talk to a lot of, especially fishermen up in the North Woods somewhere, but I would always get sort of the same story. So a lot of it was I had to go and, you know, do this research, drive all over the place, and then you catch a little tidbit of one of these stories. I mean, a lot of it began when this fella down in St. Paul told me about how down south he used to go noodling, and I didn't believe it, you know, hand fishing, you know, all this whole idea. And then hearing that it actually is true, that that's how they catch catfish, you know, they use their hand essentially as bait, convince these giant
right.
catfish, and then they wrestle them to the surface. Like, that's crazy.
I mean, it really seems like a huge mistake, doesn't it?
Yeah, like that's not a good plan. But I mean, that's a real sport too. I mean, you know, wetting a line is one thing, but like getting down there and actually hauling that fish to the surface
on the end of your arm.
Yeah, and they're all kind of chewed up a little bit.
Ooh. Yeah, and it, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So, and then, of course, there's this whole idea of, you touch on some of the iconic advertising, of course, that surrounds fishing and surrounds our North Woods. And then, of course, there's, an excellent bit of information dedicated to lutefisk, which, of course, you really couldn't, you know, how are you going to write a book about fishing if you don't include something about lutefisk and smelt? And we just, you know, up here we used to hear about, when I first came to town 25 years ago or so, there was still a lot of conversation about smelt and people going out smelting, and we just don't hear about that. I don't really hear about that anymore.
You know, it seems to go in waves, and I don't know exactly why it does, but back in the, you know, smelt is an invasive species, first of all, so they brought the smelt in to feed the salmon that they tried to put into the Great Lakes. And the salmon didn't really take, but the smelt went crazy. And so there were certain years that there were so many smelt in Lake Superior and Lake Michigan that they would have to bring out bulldozers to clear off the beaches. There just all these dead smelt.
Wow.
And then over in Wisconsin, they had so many that they filled up a wrestling ring and had smelt wrestling.
Oh, so wrong. So wrong.
And I'm finding that when I found that photo of smelt wrestling, I'm like, this. Now this book is coming together.
Exactly. I would imagine that when you finished the book, that there was a part of you that had a perma-grin on your face. Do you have the sense that, oh, I got to find something else that I can create a similar book about? I would think that this process of putting this book together would have been so much fun that you'd sort of be thinking, I'm going to do another one.
Yeah. Well, you know, this book, in a way, okay, I did these other books about roadside attractions and one called Weird Minnesota, and a lot of the research from that, like, there was just so much about fishing. I thought, wow, this could be a book of its own. So in a way, it sort of began from having done these other projects and then finding so much more about fishing. But I think, I don't know, there's something about fishing that you could do a book like this that you couldn't do, say, about hunting. I don't know if it would work. It's just a different feel or different something, or about cabins, or, you know, because fishing, sort of, I don't know, it's sort of strange in this way. I mean, like, having gone over, as part of it, going over to Norway and about Beluga fish, and then finding out that over there, how they bury fish in the ground for 3 to 4 months to ferment it, and then they eat it. It's like, that just isn't right. You know, why would you do this?
There seems to be more, now that you mention it, there seems to be a lot more whimsy surrounding fishing than hunting, for example.
Yeah, and that you go and sit out in a boat first thing in the morning. See, right now it's already 8:30. It's already past fishing time. I mean, they're already, you know, you're already coming in. It's not about catching the fish, even though that's, you know, I go out there when I have a good fish dinner, but it's about the whole process and getting out on the lake and an excuse to be out there away from everything, the beautiful mist off the lake. It's a whole process as well to be out in the woods.
Well, it's absolutely marvelous. This is the book you bring back home, and when you're feeling kind of heartsick and a little overwhelmed with perhaps, you know, school starting or the beginning of fall, you pull this book out and you just either start at the beginning and start flipping through, or you just, you know, crack the book open wherever it happens to land, and you start to read and enjoy the pictures. Eric, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah. Thanks. Happy fishing.
You too. Eric Dragne is the author of Let's Go Fishing, and Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.